I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, regular contributor Alex Province of Hartford, and producers Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
You can tell your friends no matter where they live, they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do, at WNPR.org. So here's what happened. Anthony DeSario, talk about getting my taste buds to pop and my eyes to pop, because when he knows I love bourbon, and when he handed me the recipe for this cocktail, my eyes did pop because he recommended the New York Sour. And this cocktail is, it's velvety, and it has bourbon combined with, guess what?
Wine. New York. Mm. What could it be from New and New called in New York?
It's velvet. It's wine and lemon juice.
Yes. Do you know that from?
It's like the cocktail we drink at home.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Wow.
Jonathan.
Like a sweeter wine?
Well, a fruit-forward wine, so yeah. Malbec and, oh, wow. At home, and you, at your house, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, how
did you
fun.
Make that up?
No, no, it's a very classic, famous cocktail.
Oh, is it, the New York is a cocktail? The,
absolutely.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The New York Sour,
the New York Sour is a cocktail.
Is a cocktail, and it is an easy cocktail to make.
Yeah.
And it has one egg white in it, which accounts for that velvety feel in the mouth. You don't have to use it, but I encourage you to use it because it's so good. It couldn't be easier. And this is at our website right now, foodschmooze.org. You have whiskey, so it's like a whiskey sour, except we're using a bourbon this time, and he and I like Woodford Reserve. And then a little bit of simple syrup, which is just sugar and water, that you stir them together with the water warm, and it melts, and then you just store that in the refrigerator for weeks. A little freshly squeezed lemon juice, the egg white, and then just a half ounce, just a splash of this fruit-forward red wine. We're talking about a Pinot Noir, a Malbec, or a South American Cabernet. Very fruit-forward. Not sweet, but fruit-forward. And you splash on top with this. And this gets shaken very, very cold. Velvety, fantastic cocktail. The New York Sour from Anthony DeSario, our cocktail contributor.
We could try that.
Twist my arm. You know,
I encourage you to try this. Right, Jonathan?
Seriously, yeah.
It is really good.
Faith, you know, instead of simple syrup, which we keep at home in a little, you know, squeeze bottle, but we've also been using agave just out of the pantry.
As a substitute?
Yeah, when we're lazy and don't feel like making simple syrup, agave seems to work.
Do you use it with water or just straight in?
Just squirt it in. Yeah.
And some people will use honey.
Sure.
Other people
maple
using
syrup.
Maple syrup.
Yeah.
Some people insist on raw cane sugar instead of regular sugar. Some people have, there's a controversy about how is agave treated you know, in the plant. Whatever you
some
want.
Some kind of sweet.
Some kind of sweet substance. Okay, here is a pasta I want to feature from Chris Prosperi, because we've got all these fresh tomatoes at our disposal. And, you know, now, especially if you go to farm stands, you see ones that have real flavor, not necessarily just shipped from one place to another and have no taste. Now is the time of the really luscious tomato. And so, Chris, I love this recipe because you're using cooked pasta and then these things that are just mixed together quickly. Tell us how this
and
comes together.
It's simple, and it's just one of those pasta that just sort of happened by circumstance and what I had. So I cook about a half a pound of pasta in boiling salted water, drain it. You can reserve a little bit of that liquid, you know, just if you want to wet your sauce down a little bit, and you leave that to the side. And while your pasta is cooking, you just take a big saute pan or a big pan and you heat up a little extra virgin olive oil. I take garlic cloves and I just slice them thin, throw them in the olive oil. You get those cooking until they just start to, I like them when they just start to brown a little bit and they get crispy around the edges. And then I took three medium tomatoes and just chopped them up. No fanciness, no peeling, no seeding. Just three tomatoes chopped up and I threw them in, cooked them till they get soft. Then you add white wine. You just sort of get that simmering. A little bit of chili pepper flakes, salt, and then you add your pasta back to it until the pasta gets nice and warm, and then you finish it with a good handful
A little crushed red pepper, too.
Yeah,
right?
I said, yeah, a little bit of crushed red pepper, and then you finish it with two handfuls of nice, fresh arugula and some grated Parmesan cheese.
Oh, that sounds great.
Right into the pan?
Yeah, until the arugula just sort of wilts in there and adds like that little bit of bitter and spiciness to the
yet,
pasta.
And it's not cooking, so it's got that real freshness to it.
It's a great end of summer.
That's pasta heaven you're describing
like
right
end
there.
Of, end of summer pasta, right? Mm. Even though we don't want to ever say end of summer.
And you
because summer never ends.
And so this recipe is online, too, at foodschmooze.org. So you can whip this together if you can't do it right from your head.
Yeah, it's a good midweek, right? You don't have a lot
anytime.
Of time. Just boil some water and off you go.
I'll have it anytime, thanks to you. All right, so I don't know about you, but everybody gives me zucchini. And
what do you do with it?
Wash
play baseball
zucchini.
When they left
yeah,
them
when
in
they
the
get
garden
that
for
pig,
too long.
Right?
When it starts
this
to go bad.
This is the period of year when I am dreaming up ways to use the zucchini. So I've got a recipe for you, and it's online. But the recipe is – one of the things I do is I sauté – I slice zucchini in thin slices. That's not the recipe I'm going to give you. But just to show you when I'm trying to come up with things, I will beat up some eggs. I will sauté sliced zucchini in olive oil in a pan and then add in a scrambled egg mixture and just pour it on top with some chopped – throw some chopped onions or shallots or chives or scallions or whatever you've got in there. Sometimes I'll throw in some cheese if I have it, and I make this kind of zucchini frittata thing that just because it's another way to use zucchini.
That sounds good. I'd eat that right next to my zucchini bread.
But
or on your zucchini bread.
Or on my zucchini bread.
So with a little zucchini relish on the side.
So remember that we had our boule league going. This is years ago, and I went to Jacques Pepin and Gloria's house, and they were hosting it on this particular occasion, and brought that feta and watermelon salad
that he loved.
And that was the day that Food and Wine was there, and they asked for that recipe, and then I worked some more on it with Jacques, thanks to Jacques, and he made it even better. So anyway, I was excited when the issue came out to see it and see the pictures of everybody at the boule party. This is back in 2009.
Wow.
So I go to the mailbox and I pull out the magazine and I'm going through it to try and find the article. And instead of going to the article, I become transfixed by somebody else's recipe. And it was.
And you saved it all this time.
I ripped this recipe out. It is food stained, greasy. It is, you can hardly read it. This is a recipe that is just at this time of year is a go-to thing for zucchini for me. So this is shrimp and feta stuffed zucchini. So extra virgin olive oil, onion, red bell pepper, fennel that you chop up, garlic, plum tomatoes, a little bit of crushed red pepper. That seems to be in everything we're doing lately. Some shrimp that you just poach, cook whatever way you want, parsley and a little bit of dill, and your zucchini, and you half them lengthwise, of course, and you get some crumbled feta. You can set this all up in a bowl, and this goes into the oven. You know, I've never tried this on the grill because I'd be too scared everything would be falling all over the place, but you could. So you're heating the oven, and in this skillet, you're adding the onion and the pepper and the chopped fennel and the garlic and stirring it, and it gets kind of tender for a few minutes. And then you add the tomatoes and the crushed red pepper, and you're kind of mashing that up in the pan and, you know, another few minutes. And then salt and pepper, take it off the heat and let it sit there and cool. And then you stir in the shrimp and the parsley and the dill. The zucchini, you are scooping out the flesh of the zucchini. So you've got a shell that's got about a quarter inch of zucchini meat in it. And you rub it with oil and do a little salt and pepper again. And you stuff it with this filling that we just made. And then it goes in a roasting pan and into the oven. And you'll see that the insides are all cooked through and the zucchini itself is pretty tender. And then quick, you're going to sprinkle the feta on, and then under the broiler it goes very, very quickly, a couple minutes, and it browns up a little bit. You can squeeze a little fresh lemon on it if you want, or serve it on the side. And
sounds
there
yummy.
You go.
It's, that could be it's a meal. Yeah.
It can be. And mm-hmm. I was just as I was explaining how to do this inside, there was a little bulletin going through my head and I thought, oh, I've never thought about adding crisp bacon in this.
Crumbled on top.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Scoop out more of the zucchini and add more bacon.
Yeah, a little bit of it. Or prosciutto would be fun.
Yeah.
You know,
pancetta.
I mean, a little something, maybe a little sausage meat, you know, would be cooked sausage.
Like sweet
crispy.
Italian sausage.
Yeah, pre-cook it so that it's a little crispy. Mm. Be fun. A little just hint of meat, the way Greeks do and some other Middle Eastern countries will do. Okay. So that is online at foodschmooze.org. What are you cooking right now?
So I have the same zucchini problem, and I sort of do what my mom used to do. I take zucchini, like you were saying, saute it in a pan with olive oil, salt, throw in some onions, and sort of sweat everything until everything's soft. And then I add sour cream to that, and the sour cream sort of melts a little bit and warms up, and it makes this great almost... I don't know what it is, but it's so good. You serve it like with a pork chop beside a pork chop, and it's,
nice.
You know, it's warm.
Sauce
and the sour cream is sour, and it's just
sauce
another...
and side all at once.
Wow, that's fun.
Salad, maybe?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Warm salad, yeah.
Well,
that
it's like raita. Or a Middle East, if you had a little mint in there, you'd have a real Middle Eastern thing.
I'm trying
thing.
To think my mom added mint, but I wouldn't be surprised if, mint's growing all over the yard, trying to figure out a way to... add it to iced tea and mojitos.
So there's no cooking involved, right? It just, that's...
Well, that's it, right?
Just the zucchini.
Yeah. Right. Boy, that sounds good.
That's good. Okay.
Now we just need to get Matt to eat it.
Add it to the list of zucchini recipes.
Yeah. Well, I had one that was a side dish that I think came from you, so if you can fill me in here. Take a zucchini, slice it lengthwise in about quarter-inch slices, drizzle it with olive oil, some sea salt, throw it on the grill, and then maybe a little drizzle of balsamic, and it goes great with everything.
Nice.
We use mayonnaise on the outside.
Yeah.
So we'll take it and just coat it with a huge amount of mayonnaise and then grill it, and the mayonnaise sort of sticks to it.
It's delicious. It gets sort of
I think I would like
these
that.
These are good. There is something for me to do with the baseball bats.
I've taken those big pieces too. When you grill them, you can use them as lasagna sheets, right? Layer.
Ooh, classic
lasagna recipe, whatever your vegetable or anything, and instead of using pasta sheets, you grill your zucchini, and have them all set up on the side, ready to go. And then
you layer
it with zucchini sheets.
That might be the way to get Matt to eat zucchini.
All right. Here's your next thing. We're going to tell you next about this buttery peach ginger snap crisp. Can't wait to do that. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. More mouthwatering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready tomorrow night. That's what Beans said to Cornbread.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi at Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, our regular contributor Alex Province of Hartford, Eugenia Matruda, Marion Roy, senior producer Lori Mack, and producer Jonathan McNichol. And thank you first and foremost for listening. we're going to get to our buttery peach ginger snap crisp. So easy to make. You can use it, this recipe, with all kinds of fruits. So if you're not a peach fan, or you don't can't find peaches for some reason, or you want to substitute something else, or you want to use frozen fruit, you can do that too. All right, but Chris, I think you should get us ready for going back to school.
I know, right? It's time. Are you crying?
Yeah.
And you know what? I always tell people the one part of the day that I always found the hardest was the mornings. So I came up with some recipes to do a head breakfast for the kids. So these are two very simple recipes, and they're egg dishes. One is a grilled egg, bacon, and cheese muffin. So basically taken off the Egg McMuffin, right? So very simple. You take packages of Egg McMuffins – or Egg McMuffin. You take packages –
That would be good. Packages.
It's so easy.
I missed that aisle.
You just go
So you take packages of English muffins and get, you know, and just sort of crack them open like you would normally. And then I take eggs and I whisk into the eggs a little salt and hot sauce and a drizzle of maple syrup. And then I scramble the eggs. So I take about six eggs. So I'm making six breakfast sandwiches here. So you take that. Cook it all up like a scramble. You see, you have your English muffin split, and on top of each muffin half, you take the egg that you scrambled and sort of put it on there. Then I put one strip of cooked bacon and a slice of cheese, or grated cheese if you're using a little pile. And then I take the other half of the muffin and I pile it on top, and then I wrap them in plastic wrap and put them in the fridge.
Eggs are cooked?
The eggs are fully cooked. So you made a little scrambled egg, basically, and I flavored it with a little maple syrup to make it a little sweet, and a little hot sauce and a little salt. And then, like I said, you pre-make these little sandwiches and you wrap them in plastic and throw them in the fridge, or you can put them in little sandwich bags or whatever. Put them in the fridge. And then when you wake up in the morning, I always keep my George Foreman grill on the counter. So you plug it in, get it hot, you know, and then you basically take these sandwiches out. And I don't even put anything on it. So I do it dry, and you can put, if you have a big one, you can put four or five or six of these sandwiches in at a time, and you just sort of press them down.
What if you don't have a press?
You put them right in the, you put them in the oven.
And the English muffin toasts up.
Toasts up. The cheese melts. The egg gets warm. The bacon gets warm. And then you can just wrap these in parchment paper, and the kids can eat them on the go. Or you can just sit down and eat them any way you want.
Fun. You can eat them at night when you're making them.
You can eat them at night when you're making them. Just plug that Foreman grill
the
in or turn the oven on or whatever. But again,
one for tonight, one for tomorrow.
But think about it. You can, and these last in your fridge for a few days. So it's not just do these ahead for tomorrow. You can do these ahead for a couple days. And it's just a good way to take that pressure off. I
got
to get the kids something to eat before we go. Right?
Yeah, it does.
So, and then the other recipe basically takes the same ingredients, and instead of going through that whole thing, I make, you know, the sandwich wraps that you buy. You know, they're flour tortillas. They're about 10 inches round. I make quesadillas, same thing. Wrap them in plastic. So
you use the same ingredients?
Same ingredient. Egg, bacon, cheese, and whatever else you want. You can put avocado in it, whatever the kids like. And then you do ahead, wrap it in plastic, throw it in the fridge, and the same thing in the morning. Just turn on the toaster or the George Foreman grill, or if you have a little panini maker, or turn on the oven, and you just put these in, and then you cut little sections and eat them like little pizzas. Again, it can be eaten on the go or right there.
Great. Oh,
that's a
so
great
there's
idea.
Two real simple, right? Take
I
that
like
pressure
that.
Off the mornings.
Good. I thought when you said like you wanted to do this topic, I thought you for sure you were going to go straight to lunch, you know, with the
no,
kids' lunches.
I think you're
talking about the jam up in the morning.
Yeah,
that's so crazy.
You know, and I think those other things, there's so many other items out there. You can, like, a lot of times schools cover the lunch part, right? And dinner, there's crockpot recipes you can do and do them ahead. There's so many things you can do for that. Or a lot of people just order pizza the first couple of weeks of school because it's, you know, it's easy. You pick it up on the way. But that morning, except cold cereal, really, there's no recipes that I found that try to give you that, take the pressure off the morning.
So brainstorm with me. I see lots of families now where the young kids or school-age kids don't really want so much meat. I mean, a lot of kids love bacon. But if you've got a kid who has a hard time with meat or just doesn't want to eat it, what could we put on these things you've just described? I guess anything, right?
Yeah, sure. So I mean, and again, with the quesadilla, you could take the egg off and just do cheese because the cheese has protein, so that'll give them what they need, you know. And the tortilla is a carb, so that gives them energy. So I mean,
with the bacon, if we remove the bacon, we could put you really
like
could
chorizo. As
sausage.
A meat substitute.
As a meat substitute. He's good. No, but I mean, there's so many things you could put on here. Vegetable. You could even try to sneak vegetables in here. I make these all the time with whatever's left over.
The avocado sounded great.
The avocado's good. And... you know, I find if you roast things like cauliflower and broccoli, kids tend to like it a little more than if you boil them or steam them. And if you chop it up the Italians do, if you chop it up fine, so they're not eating this big head of cauliflower in their sandwich or quesadilla, but you chop it up really, really fine and you just sort of sprinkle it within there, they won't even know it's there.
It's almost like taco meat.
Yeah, it's almost like taco, do you know what I mean? When the cauliflower heads and you chop that up, it kind of looks like ground meat. And the same thing with the broccoli. So you could sneak that in there and no one would even know.
There's also a way of figuring out what their favorite sauce flavors are. So if you've got a child who loves ketchup or a child who loves maple syrup or something else, it's possible to, say, make a little vinaigrette with whatever these flavors are that this child likes and just do the faintest little drizzle on these vegetables and toss them before they're all diced up. You know, just toss it with that. It's all diced up and it's got that little flavor that they like. And so it makes the vegetable more seductive.
I like this idea for after-school snacks as well as breakfast because a big problem. When you walk in the door, everybody's really hungry, me included, and I tend to go for all the junk that's sitting there.
That's where chips come out.
And if you're picking up your kids from school, they're often saying, can we go get a bagel and cream cheese?
Sure.
To soothe them, because usually they're half hysterical at this point. You do.
Quesadillas work 100% in this realm because who doesn't like melted cheese?
Right.
I mean, come on. I mean, that, and again, you do it in those little tabletop grills. I mean, and I like my Foreman, but there's so many out there. They just work so great. They're easy to clean up, and now we're just using it as a toaster. So we're not even talking about a big cleanup. Like I said, when I do the muffins or this kind of quesadilla, I don't even spray or put any fat on the grills. I just do it dry because really all I'm doing is toasting either the tortilla or the muffin and just trying to warm up everything.
And it's quick.
It's very quick.
We should our panini maker on the counter.
We always
tuck it away and forget about
it. Leave it there.
It's just too inviting to
make
get,
a grilled
to
cheese at 3 in the morning.
Actually, you've got a waffle maker now. You can just use that to heat
up
these things.
Yes, but I have your waffle maker, Lori, to make my brownies so that my brownies have edges all the way around, crisp edges every which place. That's why I use that.
I got another one, though, for this one someone made for me. I was doing a cooking class, and the woman in charge of the cooking class said, hey, do you want to have some Texas toast?
Oh, yeah.
Texas toast? I didn't even know what she was talking about. And she's like, it's not like any Texas toast you'd have. It's not fancy. It's just something I learned to do. And I just love doing it. I'm like, sure. And so she takes a waffle maker, like you were just saying, and she buys this Texas toast bread, which is thicker. It's like a double slice.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So it's a thick slice of white, just regular white
unflavored
bread.
Unflavored, though.
Yeah, just plain white bread. And she just puts a little bit of butter on both sides, and she puts it in the waffle maker. And she sort of presses it down. But because it's big, it gets all kinds of nooks and crannies, just like an English muffin almost. And it gets nice and toasty. Oh. And then you can sprinkle cinnamon sugar on top.
So
talk about things for the kids.
I'm thinking Nutella.
Oh, God.
And powdered sugar.
Oh, my God.
And powdered sugar.
Yeah, Nutella and powdered sugar. Nutella,
and
by the way,
does
not have enough
peanut
sugar.
Butter.
Yeah,
peanut butter. Bananas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
But see,
powdered sugar.
Right? So these are simple
things. Bread waffle without making the waffle.
And again, I'm always
looking. This is so good.
I'm always looking at these
brilliant.
These cooking devices, these cooking things.
It's called hacking food.
Yeah, hacking food. But also these devices sit, like Alex just said, they sit under the bed or in a closet or wherever you stash it, and you never use them. So why not just get rid of them or put them up on the counter so you can come up with ideas to use these things. And the waffle iron and this toast thing was just
–
and then I love – and I remember when Lori did it. I love the – the
brownies.
Oh, my gosh. That's like, there's the reason to leave the waffle iron out. You just take a regular brownie mix, you make it in the waffle iron, and you Alamo it, right?
Alamo it.
Keep the batter in the refrigerator and just come home.
And then just drop the ice cream on top, 3 in the morning. Heaven.
It's crispy all around. Oh, boy.
Our problem is with only two of us, if I buy a loaf of bread, we don't eat a lot of bread anymore, so it's hard to even finish a whole loaf of it. But now with the panini maker and keep the Nutella right next door,
you have a reason to use that bread. I could just come home
and be like, hey. I got an idea.
Well, if you butter this Texas toast, a beautiful butter, and then put the Nutella on, that's like having a donut, a chocolate-covered donut.
A glazed donut.
And then when you put that powdered sugar on there.
And it's better for you because a donut is fried, and this is just sort of...
Baked.
Toasted with butter.
And it's got texture, unlike the donut. This is just, can't get better.
Butter, you could technically fry it.
Oh.
Inside the waffle maker.
A little butter in there. We're on to something.
So good. And you don't have to buy Texas toast, quote unquote, because you just get a loaf of bread and slice it thick. And
then you could do a jelly donut style.
Oh,
jelly in there and
with
some
white bread.
Yes.
That's
powdered sugar. Oh, boy.
And I bet the powdered sugar would get even caramelized in the iron, right?
Yeah.
If you put it on before.
Sure.
Deadly.
We can do pizza like this.
We could
take
the bread, put it in the waffle maker, right? And then get it nice and crispy, and then just top it with
some
olive oil instead of butter. Great. And then just take a little bit of hot tomato sauce and drizzle it on there, sprinkling of Parmesan cheese, and you're done.
Fried dough.
Some pepperoni.
Yeah, like a fried dough. Yeah, like some pepperoni or whatever.
Yeah, and so I would suggest that we coat with olive oil and garlic, so we've got like a garlic bread crust on the thing. This is good. This is a whole show.
This is a whole show on using
bread and the waffle iron.
And using these devices that I assume we all have, because I even have one, and I don't even like waffles.
Well, the problem,
I didn't buy it. Someone gave it to me as a present, thinking Chris needs a waffle.
How could you not like waffles?
Chris needs a waffle iron. I loved them when I was a kid. I just don't know.
You ate too many and got burned out. Yeah,
maybe ate too many and burned out on them. But I don't know. But still, right? I mean, use these things as other things. I mean, it's a...
Yeah, plus if you wake up on the weekend cranky and you want waffles but don't have the energy, you can just take bread.
Toast.
And drop it in there.
You get the same idea.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of that, this summer I was at the Oyster Club in Mystic. And I had their brown butter French toast.
Ooh. Oh.
Oh, that is
something. See, now we're talking.
What do you put on that? Anything?
Well, it comes with – my sister ordered it, and then I, stole some of hers.
Okay, so what's on it?
It has nuts, sprinkled, toasted nuts on it, and there's a little bit of fruit scattered and – maple syrup, the whole thing. But the brown butter is very prominent. Yeah, absolutely
that toasty,
fantastic.
Walnut toasty kind of flavor that brown butter has.
Yes, just fantastic.
Little whipped cream and...
Oh, yeah.
Little Lori's drooling. Can
some
I go with it?
All right, here we go. So on the other side of this break, we're going to do the buttery peach ginger snap crisp. And so that's in about 4 minutes or so.
Lori's can you serve that
it's
now?
Really good. It's really good. So let's come back to this hacking food thing. There's a site called Hacking IKEA. And you buy IKEA furniture, and then you go online and you find out how to hack it. So it's called Hacking IKEA, and they do everything imaginable with these pieces of furniture. By repainting, restaining, taking off one side, doing everything imaginable. It's
connecting
so much
one
fun.
Thing to another thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
That doesn't even have anything to do with each other.
Gosh, I want to see that just for fun.
Well, I got so excited that I hacked a desk.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And how did it come out?
I had a desk, set up for this area, and it had this thing that slides under and all this stuff. And so I just took it all off and then took two filing cabinets from another IKEA desk and had removed all the underside wheeling stuff and hooking things. And so suddenly there was room for these things that don't necessarily go with it. And they just slid under.
Perfectly.
And there's a perfect amount. Perfectly. It's a perfect amount of space for my
Made
chair.
For hacking.
Oh,
yeah, really. So cool.
Did you use a Sawzall or any
electrical?
No power tools?
Power tools.
I pointed to the man who was putting it together.
What
Take
about
that
this?
Off. Yeah. Take this. Put this on. All right, let's hack another piece of equipment before we go to the ginger thing. The regular toaster that sits on the counter, you know, two or four pieces of bread or a bagel.
This takes me back because I was the king.
But I'm talking about a toaster, not a toaster oven.
No, just the pop-up toaster.
Push now, the button.
The pop-up toaster to me looks great and it does one thing. And I just look at it going, it doesn't do what I need it to do. And I want it to be a broiler. So I have turned my – and literally and figuratively turned –
I feel like we should have a disclaimer at this point.
No. I've
Do you
turned,
use a fork to take your stuff out?
I've turned my
– Don't try this
listen,
at home.
No, listen. I have turned my toaster into a broiler, and it works very simply by turning it on its side.
Oh, boy.
And I make sure I put it on a wood cutting board, right? Oh, so it's sitting on
– Fire extinguisher
No. Okay, so here we go. You ready?
How do you use it?
I use it for melting cheese. So if I want to make the quickest grilled cheese on earth, and I do call this the quickest grilled cheese on earth, I take a piece of white bread, two pieces of white bread, two slices of American cheese.
The orange stuff.
Mm. Thank you. Cabot now makes it, right? We know that because we love Cabot. So okay, so take two slices of white bread, one slice of American cheese. You can even put a little butter on the top piece.
Boy.
No, don't put it on the – don't butter
for
the bread.
Fuel,
but
right?
just butter under the cheese. I take a little bit of butter or olive oil and put it under the each slice of cheese.
You need a combustible.
And
man.
Then you just gotta watch.
A fan to
get
some air in there.
I'll get a YouTube video. And you put the bread and cheese in sideways. So it's just sitting on toaster's sitting on its side.
Melt.
So yeah. And then you very carefully push the button. You have to sort of be there so it doesn't slide the bread
across the
counter.
You have to be
the
there, of course you have.
Yeah. So it doesn't slide the bread.
Away.
But you just
don't try this with a remote.
But I'm telling you, it makes the quickest, easiest grilled cheese.
Why doesn't it drip?
That's what I want to know.
Why isn't it dripping down onto the other coils at the bottom?
No, because this is why I use American cheese, because it fits the bread
because it
perfectly.
Will not melt.
No, and it doesn't drip like
There's
that.
No dripping.
Yeah, and it fits the
and you
bread
plug this
perfectly.
Thing in, right?
You're about
plug
cheese,
it in. Yeah.
Cheese-like
and it,
food.
And it toasts the bread and melts the cheese at the same time. When it comes out onto my little wooden cutting board. I flip it over, make a grilled cheese, and walk away.
All right.
Come on.
No, I think it's pretty darn
clever.
That's clever.
Very clever.
Do you need a burn permit?
No, you have from your fire department.
Just take the batteries out of the smoke detector.
Yeah. I can say, if you do this carefully, it works every time.
As many college students will tell you, I'm sure. Okay.
Yeah. If you want to keep going, I can make you ramen noodles in a coffee maker.
I can.
We should do that.
Hey,
we should do that.
I can iron you a
See,
grilled cheese.
Yeah, so
here we go. Please support your local food growers and food makers. Next, we have the buttery peach ginger snap crisp, and you can find the food, wine, recipes, cocktails, and wild ideas at foodschmooze.org right now or anytime. We're online 24/7. More delicious conversation after a quick break. Please stay with us.
Song, just this. For real.
Hearing neck bones.
Oh my God. This is funny.
Oh, love it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, here we are. I'm Faith Middleton with the gang. This is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at Faith WNPR to join the conversation with us on Facebook. Search the Faith Middleton Show. Okay, so it's like a John Cage thing. You know, it really is. All right.
I like when I can confuse you guys a little.
So here we go. We have this peach ginger crisp. I am the fearful baker. I think I should come out with a cookbook called that because it would be the most basic thing. This is one thing that is so easy. And it was in the same issue of Food & Wine magazine as the watermelon feta thing that we were talking about earlier. And so all the way back to 2009. And it's this very buttery peach ginger snap crisp. Anything that has ginger snaps as a crust in it
sounds
is okay
me.
With me.
Yeah.
And so, of course, you could use this with any fruit that you happen to find at your farmer's market or whatever's going on. You could even use frozen fruit. But here's how this goes. And this is so easy for people who don't bake. So this is originally from Anna Sortun, who has Oleana
in Cambridge.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you're going to use your food processor, and you've got a little bit of butter, peaches, or the fruit that you like. The peaches are cut in wedges, and some light brown sugar, lemon juice, a little bit of flour, salt, and ginger snaps that you've crushed. So oven is on, and in a skillet, you're putting some butter, you add the peach slices or your fruit, and you cook over a pretty high heat, and you're stirring it, and they get softened, doesn't take too long. This is online at foodschmooze.org. And then you add a little bit of the brown sugar and lemon juice, and you keep cooking those peaches until they, because of the sugar, they become caramelized. That just takes a few more minutes. And then you put them, just scrape them into a baking dish. While this is going on, in a food processor, you pulse this little bit of flour and salt and just a little bit more butter and brown sugar. You pulse a little bit and it becomes a kind of coarse meal. Mm. And then you add your crushed ginger snaps and you pulse it a few more times and that incorporates them into this.
Sure.
Now you've got a topping and you press that topping into clumps and you sprinkle it over the peaches that are in the baking dish. And just bake it in the oven for about 15 minutes. And
wow.
It gets brown on the top. And yes, out comes the ice cream, or you can just be pristine. You can hack this recipe and make
whipped
it
cream.
Sweeter or less sweet
cream.
If you want.
Whipped
yeah,
cream.
Whatever you want to do. It's kind of the crisp for people who don't bake, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, crisps are
yeah.
generally easy, mm-hmm. but this is ridiculously easy and ridiculously good.
Yeah.
And use
good
any fruit
coffee.
You want. So.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about a dessert. What's okay. an icebox cake?
You are asking the right person.
Really? Because
yes?
I was going to say, I've heard of it, but I've never
one.
Had one. I don't think I've even had one.
No.
I don't think I've ever had an icebox cake.
This is something that I know how to make because I grew up with this. My mother made it constantly. Then my sister, Sally, took over the duty. I do not have a holiday without one present. It's family tradition.
An icebox cake.
I've made it 1,000 times. Yes.
Sounds so old-fashioned.
I'm mystified by cake and not baking.
I'm mystified
really?
By icebox.
All right, that's I'm at the edge of my seat. Go for it.
It's a thing they used to have.
A long, long time ago.
Yeah.
You just get those chocolate cookies that come in a package, you know, and there's not a lot of sugar in them, but they're very thin, so they're those chocolate wafer cookies.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Like
yeah,
the
yeah.
base of an Oreo kind? Or?
No. They're like vanilla wafers,
like,
I think,
wafers,
but chocolate.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You can get them in a little sleeve
larger.
In the supermarket.
Yeah. That's right.
Gotcha.
Then you make up whipped cream.
Okay, make up
and
whipped cream.
And then you put a chocolate cookie down
yeah.
on the plate and a good dollop of whipped cream, like you're spreading it, then another chocolate cookie on top of that whipped cream, and then do the same thing until you've got
so
a stack
like
of about six. And then you turn it on its side, and now you've started to make this accordion-like structure,
yeah, yeah,
and you just
it.
Keep going. You hold the cookie, put
yeah.
whipped cream on it,
yeah.
and stick it in the next in line.
Okay.
You do it till you've got one that's, you could do it any length.
Yeah,
you,
sure.
If it's two people, you do a short one, but
yeah.
at our family, we do a nice big long one on a platter.
Okay.
Then you cover it with some kind of plastic wrap.
Sure, sure.
And you stick it in the refrigerator.
Okay.
And the whipped cream is absorbed into
the cookies.
And so it becomes a soft texture.
Like
and
cake.
When it's time for dessert, just 5 minutes before dessert, we get up, we get it out of the refrigerator, we have a bowl of whipped cream ready to go, and we whipped cream the whole outside of this log.
Yum.
And then if you want, you can just grate a little dark chocolate on the top or just leave it the way it is. And
I have never had this.
Slice it on the diagonal. It comes out stripes. And it's chocolate
because
cookie.
Because you can slice it because
it's like a cake. It's like chocolate cake now.
It's soft. To itself.
And you, yes. And
no
you slice
kidding.
And it's dark brown and white stripes. And it's absolutely delicious. And the whipped cream is made with vanilla and a little bit of sugar.
And that's it.
I want that.
Yeah, I have never
so
had that.
Make it
that
for
is
you.
So easy, and I've never heard of that before.
Can we come back?
No.
Can we later
you
today?
Seriously?
I've never heard. I mean, I've heard of icebox cake, but I never knew what one
was.
I never knew what it was.
Yeah, it's so easy.
That's,
and, you know, you can hack that.
Oh, so, yeah,
you
and change it and do all kinds of things. You could use the regular, right? Just the regular vanilla cookies if
you
want.
Could you have add-ins?
Sure you could.
What could we add
in? Like what?
Well, you could make your whipped cream.
I don't know if you need nuts. It
was
so good.
You could put Grand Marnier or cherry
sure,
liqueur
adult.
In your. You could make an adult icebox cake.
Yeah.
You could,
a little brandy.
Yeah.
You could put cherries on the top if you wanted.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Only half of it.
You could do a maple whipped cream.
You could do maple. Yeah, good idea. Right. You put shredded coconut
yeah.
on the outside.
You like coconut cream pie, right?
Yeah, I do. My favorite.
That would be coconut cream icebox pie.
Oh,
what were
right.
those cookies you make banana cream pie with? Very
Vanilla.
Old school?
Yeah.
Like Nabisco or something?
Nilla
wafers. N-I-L-A. Nilla wafers.
That's where the icebox kit comes from. It's the Nilla wafer box.
Oh, really? Is that it? Do you use is that
chocolate?
Yeah, they're in chocolate.
Oh, chocolate Nilla wafers. I'm gonna make that today.
It's so retro.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Wait, is that from 50s. Like the 50s?
Yeah. 50s yeah.
Uh-huh. No kidding.
Yeah,
because my dad
See?
Would make like a banana cream pie. I think
yeah.
with
those.
With, yeah, those.
Actually, earlier 20s and 30s.
What are they called again?
Nilla wafers.
Nilla.
Oh, huh. This was a very unusual experience to have my mother make something like this because. Mm-hmm. We're Scotch, and yeah. when I was growing up, so much of my food was Scottish.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all the meat pies yeah. and the, yeah. you know.
She took one from America right there.
And there she just, she's, when
Adapt
she was
to her
an
country.
Adventurous baker. Unlike
Cookies
me.
And whipped cream.
She used to make a cake like that. The cake was layers of cake. She'd yeah. make it a from scratch cake with two layers. And then she'd take one cake layer and coat it with sliced peaches or sliced strawberries. And Lori Mack surprised me for my birthday 1 year doing this. Then the cake is cooled, and you put the peaches on it, and then you cover it with whipped cream.
Okay.
Then the top layer goes on, yeah. and you do the same thing with the peaches on the top.
Yeah.
And then you frost the whole thing with
so
whipped cream.
So the peaches
cream.
Are underneath the whipped cream.
Yes.
Then you take peaches and you put them on the top of the whipped cream
okay.
around
yeah,
the
yeah,
outside
yeah.
of
so
the cake,
decoration.
And there you go.
Wow, and that's it, another good one.
It is delicious. Cake and whipped cream.
Oh and gosh. Peaches.
So good. It's really a substitute for the shortcake.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a good one.
Well,
it's a really good one.
So we end up getting biscuits that sort of come in a tube, and it's like easy yeah. when you have strawberries,
yeah.
and it's just you Pillsbury. Come home from work. Yeah,
yep.
you open
Pop
them
a
up.
Piece
I
off
think. And but we end up with like 8 of these mm-hmm. biscuits. We can usually eat 2. Mm-hmm. So I end up putting them in a Ziploc bag. But I bet I could, you guys could help me figure out how to
make a cake out of those.
Turn it into an icebox cake.
Yeah, make those ahead of time.
Use the biscuits to make what?
Shortcakes.
Or like a one of those cakes that you just made.
Yeah.
The icebox cake?
An icebox.
Yeah.
So what
yeah.
could we what can we do with the, these biscuits are savory that you're making.
Right.
So,
yeah, just the plain
so
ones.
So what could we
yeah.
do? Do you want to make them up. Into a dessert or do you
yes.
want to?
Yeah, I would say you make them, right? You have them and then you know those like glass Pyrex pans?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a good vessel to put it in. And then maybe slice them.
Cut them in half.
Or cut them in half or slice them maybe 3 times so you get. No, let's do 2 layers. So cut them in half.
Yep.
And then put them. like get a couple and put them on the bottom, right?
So doughy side down.
Doughy side down, and then do the same thing like they were saying. The whipped cream on top, and then top them with another layer.
What if you took strawberries and sprinkled them with sugar and let them sort of
sit in there too?
Yes.
Okay, I've got one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going to take your leftover biscuits and you're going to cut them in half horizontally.
Okay.
So you've got two halves. And you're going to pull out the dough inside, but keep the shells. And then you're going to drizzle them with some melted butter and some brown sugar. And you're going to bake those, rebake them in the oven until the butter is just turns to that caramelized.
Yep.
So you've made cinnamon toast cups. And now you're going, and they're crispy now.
That's
now you're
brilliant.
Going to fill it with a scoop of ice cream.
There you go.
Like a giant profiterole.
I thought you were going
to without all
instant
that work.
Profiterole.
Without
exactly.
all that
I was thinking chocolate pudding.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And then whipped cream on top and then chocolate shavings on that.
Or we could simply just put chocolate chips in the bottom of one and
does anyone do Jell-O pudding anymore? Do you guys do Jell-O pudding like
don't,
we did when
no.
we were kids?
I don't make it, but I'd eat it if it were there.
Yeah, I would too.
I would totally do it.
Yeah.
And I haven't done it in years. You can get the instant one that you make with the little beater one or the one you cook on the stove.
Yeah, the one
that you cook
on
the stove is
the
good.
The cooking one's better. Yeah, but I don't know
that. Like licking the pan.
Yeah, right?
How come we don't do that anymore?
I wonder if people do. Oh, gosh, we had chocolate pudding.
I don't think
pudding.
Anyone does
we
anymore.
We had chocolate pudding like the one that made in the stove, the Jell-O, all the time.
Okay, so we used – my mother would buy Mighty Fine, the box of Mighty Fine chocolate pudding.
Okay.
But on the back of the box was a recipe for, to this day, the best fudge I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Using chocolate.
With a pudding mix.
Using the pudding mix to make, and you put evaporated milk, as I recall,
okay,
or condensed milk. I don't know. Is that the same? Evaporated milk and condensed
milk?
No,
two different
same?
Things. Two different things.
And you put in the mix and then into a pan. I remember her metal pie tin.
Yeah.
And it would go in the refrigerator and we would, then she'd cut it up and we would have fudge.
Wow.
And I spent years going up and down the aisles trying to see if I could find that box.
Is that company? I don't know if that even exists
I should
anymore.
Look this up and see if I can find it. The old Mighty Fine fudge recipe.
So was this like the 60s, 70s?
And how did you spell it? It was M-Y-T?
Yeah.
M-Y-T fine, I think.
Yep.
Are they still around?
I don't know. That's why I was like, I don't remember seeing those since the 70s.
I don't think I've had pudding since the 70s.
Yeah. Okay. And again, why?
Me too.
Why? It's so easy.
It's so good.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yes. You know what? But after you've discovered pot de creme, which is really
fancy pudding.
Fancy, yes, but then the box pudding doesn't look, it's not so great anymore.
I don't know.
At 11 o'clock at night, box pudding sounds really good.
Pudding pockets? Like then you could take your panini maker with white bread and then you put the pudding in another slice.
Or in the toaster. Yeah. It's just like a hot pocket.
No, like we
the
had
sideways
Mark
toaster.
Chris's
sideways
No, you need
fire hazard.
You could make a fortune.
No, remember Mark Raymond?
Sideways toaster with little feet on the side.
I think it's already been done though, right?
I don't know.
Oh boy. Okay.
I'm gonna have pudding tonight. I'm gonna go to the grocery store. I'm
gonna
buy
and you know what?
Mighty Fine.
It appears to still exist, Mighty Fine.
Wow. Okay. And as Faith was saying pot de creme, I was thinking, you know what? I've had pot de creme 100 times since the last time I had pudding. And I'm sitting here not craving pot de creme.
But
I'm
pudding.
Craving pudding.
Craving American pudding.
Like butterscotch?
No, chocolate. I'm a chocolate.
Chocolate.
You make it in the pan. And you ate it when it was still a little warm.
You're going to have to get some Cool Whip.
And like you said, you
just
clean,
to complete the whole thing.
You clean the pan with your fingers.
Yeah, and it forms that skin on top.
Yeah, and the skin was the best part. You would just eat it.
When did that come out? Is that a 50s thing?
Jonathan, where's the
40s thing when people came back from the war, right, is when...
Because it's cornstarch.
The industrialization of food happened then. So you would think it probably goes back to the 40s.
But it's amazing.
40s or 50s.
Yeah, the old school package, it's like cardboard and then you open it up and it has the
parchment. No, it was parchment.
The wax paper.
Yeah, the wax paper.
Yeah, and the little chocolate powder mix and you put the milk in the pan and then you'd have to stir it while it heats
up. Don't let it scorch.
Yeah, don't let it scorch.
Don't
walk
away.
Yes.
The question is, are there chemicals, you know, like a billion chemicals now versus then? No, no, I want to see.
Versus now,
You know,
I don't know.
I don't enjoy Oreos anymore because for me, I taste some kind of waxy something, and I think, what happened to my Oreos? Well,
I take a spoon, lower the Oreo into the milk until almost disintegrates, and then you have like this watery, aqueous sort of like Oreo. I can eat like the whole thing. I'm not allowed to have them because I can just eat
the whole thing
and say, I only ate like one row.
Only ate one row.
Like one row.
Like one row.
Children are in the car right now cheering.
Yeah.
You've suddenly become the most popular member of this crew.
Alex.
With a lot of whole milk, you know, to wash it down.
I'm so sorry we have to go because we're getting into the really interesting part of the show now. Thank you, everyone. Alex and Chris and Lori and Jonathan. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. We're online right now or anytime. You can find the recipes, food, products, restaurants, value wines, easy cocktails, and tips at foodschmooze.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends. And remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.